Chapter 7. Protection. Protection and preservation has always been an inherent command imperative. All forces, including special operations forces, assist in preserving combat power, populations, partners, resources, and critical infrastructure through protection tasks. Every military activity, from training and pre-deployment preparation through mission accomplishment, requires the commander to assume responsibility for protecting his force while achieving the objective. Preserving the force includes protecting personnel, combatants and non-combatants, systems, physical assets, and information of the U.S. and multinational military and civilian partners, to include the host nation. The protection warfighting function consists of 12 primary tasks. In addition to the primary protection tasks, commanders and staffs must synchronize, integrate, and organize additional protection capabilities and resources that preserve combat power. The protection tasks that Army Special Operations Unit commanders and their staffs focus on are explained in this chapter. Note, ADP 3-37 provides additional information on protection. Personnel recovery. Personnel recovery is the sum of military, diplomatic, and civil efforts to prepare for and execute the recovery and reintegration of isolated personnel, JP 3-50. Personnel recovery is the overarching term for operations that focus on recovering isolated or missing personnel before they become detained or captured, or returning human remains for identification and proper burial and honors. As trusted and honorable Army professionals, Army Special Operations units have a long history of providing support to and conducting unilateral personnel recovery operations. Once in the assigned area of operations, the force can perform its mission unilaterally and with indigenous forces or other governmental departments and agencies to recover isolated, missing, detained, or captured personnel. These units possess the skills, capabilities, and modes of employment to perform personnel recovery missions. The units, in direct support of joint combat search and rescue operations, may be inserted into hostile territory and travel overland to a predetermined rendezvous point to make contact with the evader. Once contact has been made, the recovery force and the evader move to a location within range of friendly assets for extraction. Army Special Operations units are responsible for self-recovery in support of their own operations, consistent with organic capabilities and assigned functions, and in accordance with the requirements of the supported commander. These units must make recovery planning an inherent part of every mission, and include recovery and emergency exfiltration operations. The vast majority of the recovery planning can be facilitated through the unit's standard operating procedure that is subsequently plugged into the evasion plan of action. Personnel recovery of special operations personnel in a conventional force area of operations may be assisted by the personnel recovery teams organic to Army Service Component Command, Corps, or Division Headquarters, and coordinated by the Special Operations Command and Control elements in support of those headquarters. As a component of the combatant commander's personnel recovery capabilities, Army Special Operations Forces develop two forms of assisted recovery, non-conventional and unconventional. Non-conventional assisted recovery is personnel recovery conducted by indigenous/surrogate personnel that are trained, supported, and led by Special Operations Forces, unconventional warfare ground and maritime forces, or other government agencies' personnel that have been specifically trained and directed to establish and operate indigenous or surrogate infrastructures, JP 3-50. Non-conventional assisted recovery forces generally deploy into their assigned areas before offensive operations begin and provide the Joint Force Commander with a coordinated personnel recovery capability for as long as the force remains viable. The Joint Personnel Recovery Agency, the proponent for JP 3-50, has approved the following definition of unconventional assisted recovery to be updated in JP 3-50. Personnel recovery operations controlled by resistance force in conjunction with or facilitate by special operations forces to return isolated personnel to friendly control. Using tactics and techniques associated with unconventional warfare and other special operations tasks, unconventional assisted recovery uses resistance-controlled evasion mechanisms to execute recovery operations. Unconventional assisted recovery operations are executed in conjunction with or facilitated by special operations forces to return isolated personnel to friendly control in denied areas where other personnel recovery capabilities are infeasible, inaccessible, or do not exist. Populace and resources control. Populace and Resources Control is conducted in conjunction with and as an integral part of all military operations. Populace and Resources Control consists of two distinct yet linked components, Populace Control and Resources Control. These controls are normally the responsibility of indigenous civil governments. Combatant commanders define and enforce these controls during times of civil or military emergency. Note, FM3-57, Civil Affairs Operations, ATP-3-57.10, Civil Affairs Support to Populace and Resources Control, and ATP-3-39.30, Security and Mobility Support, provide more information on Populace and Resources Control. Populace Control. Populace Control provides security for the indigenous populace, mobilizes human resources, denies enemy access to the population, and detects and reduces the effectiveness of enemy agents. Populace control measures are a key element in the execution of primary stability tasks in the areas of civil security and civil control. Resources control. Resources control regulates the movement or consumption of material resources, mobilizes materiel resources, and denies materiel resources to the enemy. Resources controls target specific sectors of a nation's material wealth and economy, including natural resources, food and agriculture, immovable property, finances, and cultural and critical infrastructure. Risk management. Commanders use judgment when identifying risks, deciding what risks to accept, and mitigating accepted risks. Commanders accept risks to create opportunities, and they reduce risks by foresight and careful planning. Commanders use risk management to identify and mitigate risks. Risk is a function of the probability of an event occurring and the severity of the event, expressed in terms of the degree to which the incident affects combat power or mission capability. Safety is a subtask of risk management. It identifies and assesses hazards to the force and makes recommendations on ways to mitigate those hazards. A hazard is a condition with the potential to cause injury, illness, or death of personnel, damage to or loss of equipment or property, or mission degradation. JP3-33. All staffs understand and factor into their analysis how their execution recommendations could adversely affect soldiers. Risk management integration is the primary responsibility of the protection officer or the operations officer. All commands develop and implement a command safety program that incorporates fratricide avoidance, occupational health, risk management, fire prevention and suppression, and accident prevention programs focused on minimizing safety risks. Note, ATP 5-19, Risk Management, provides more information. Operations Security. Although it is not a primary protection task, Army Special Operations units apply operations security to all operations and activities. Operations security is a process of identifying essential elements of friendly information and subsequently analyzing friendly actions attendant to military operations and other activities to identify those actions that can be observed by adversary intelligence systems, determine indicators that adversary intelligence systems might obtain that could be interpreted or pieced together to derive critical information in time to be useful to adversaries, and select and execute measures that eliminate or reduce to an acceptable level the vulnerabilities of friendly actions to adversary exploitation. JP3-13.3. All units conduct operations security to preserve essential secrecy. Commanders establish routine operations security measures in unit standard operating procedures. Operations security for these units may require separate reporting and accountability methods. Army Health System. The Army Health System includes health service support, a component of the sustainment warfighting function, and force health protection, which is a component of the protection warfighting function. Force health protection consists of the measures to promote, improve, or conserve the mental and physical well-being of soldiers, to include those that enable a healthy and fit force, prevent injury and illness, and protect the force from health hazards. Note, more in-depth Army Health System support information is in FM4-02, Army Health System, and ATP4-02.43, Army Health System Support to Army Special Operations Forces, ATP3-05.40, Special Operations Sustainment, provides more information on unit-specific capabilities and requirements. Army Special Operations medical elements and the command surgeons that oversee them are an integral part of planning and execution of special operations. In general, the provision of Army health support is challenging, as Army Special Operations units vary in their organic medical capabilities. Assigned medical personnel are relied on to integrate their understanding of the supported plan and the supporting special operations plan, the capabilities of the special operations force, the support and command relationships established by both plans, and their understanding of the operational environment to include health threats and medical intelligence with all planning and execution efforts. Force health protection and special operations medical personnel do not focus solely on operations. The elements of force health protection include enabling health and fitness and preventing of injuries and illness. In addition to unit-level internal activities, medical personnel integrate the United States Army Special Operations Command's Tactical Human Optimization Rapid Rehabilitation Reconditioning Program as part of a larger United States Special Operations Command mission-specific human performance program. As tactical athletes, Army Special Operations soldiers must maintain peak performance in addition to general health and fitness. At the elite tactical athlete level, there are major distinctions in programs designed solely for fitness versus human performance optimization. Tactical human optimization rapid rehabilitation and reconditioning increases combat performance and effectiveness, prevents injuries, improves health and longevity, and facilitates rapid return to duty. Explosive ordnance disposal. Explosive ordnance disposal supports, enhances, and enables unit operations, planning, and training across direct and indirect lines of effort. Explosive ordnance disposal competencies specifically provide organic force protection capability, elevate and deepen the level of training assistance to indigenous forces, and reduce risks to missions and to forces during direct action missions, as well as other specialized tasks. Explosive ordnance disposal units provide both general support to Army Special Operations Forces commanders based on requested theater allocations, as well as direct support with specialized and designated explosive ordnance disposal units to specified units. The increasing proliferation and technological complexity of improvised weapons and other chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear hazards drives this critical requirement of continued and embedded explosive ordnance disposal support to all Army Special Operations units in order to maintain required core mission capabilities. Note, JP3-42, Joint Explosive Ordnance Disposal, ATP4-32.1, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, EOD, Group and Battalion Headquarters Operations, and ATP4-32.3, Explosive Ordnance Disposal EOD, Company, Platoon, and Team Operations provide additional information on Explosive Ordnance Disposal. Chemical, Biological, Radiological, and Nuclear Operations. Threat forces are continually attempting to gain possession of and employ chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear devices in order to disrupt lines of operation. Fear, distrust, and panic among the indigenous population are often the most far-reaching and decisive indirect effects of such an event. The life cycle of a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear event starts with identification of threats, hazards, and vulnerabilities. Once these are identified, counter-proliferation operations, such as weapons of mass destruction interdiction, weapons of mass destruction offensive operations, weapons of mass destruction elimination, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear active defense are conducted to disrupt the enemy's chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear capabilities. If proliferation prevention fails, passive defense operations are conducted to avoid, protect against, or decontaminate if needed. If overwhelmed, the mission moves to a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear consequence management operation, which consists of actions taken to plan, prepare, respond to, and recover from a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear incident that requires force and resource allocation beyond passive defense. Throughout the process, diligent and well-integrated chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear staff sections are necessary to ensure the proper and efficient flow of information, as well as to coordinate higher-level resources to facilitate operations. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear operations include the employment of tactical capabilities that counter the entire range of threats and hazards through weapons of mass destruction proliferation prevention, weapons of mass destruction counterforce, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear consequence management activities. These operations support the commander's objectives to counter weapons of mass destruction and operate safely in a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear environment. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear capabilities. All of the United States Army's Special Command's subordinate commands have U.S. Army Chemical Corps personnel on their staffs. In addition to these staff elements, the 75th Ranger Regiment has decontamination and reconnaissance teams, and each Special Forces group has a chemical decontamination detachment and a chemical reconnaissance detachment. Chemical Corps staff personnel have a significant role in the protection warfighting function. They identify chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear hazards as part of analyzing the operational environment by fusing their analysis with those conducted by the intelligence staff. They identify potential shortfalls during the operations process and facilitate requests for external support requirements. They integrate the use of organic capabilities into special operations during planning and monitor execution of those portions of the operation. The staff ensures interoperability of the unit with forces that either host or support their activities. Common standards for chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear defense, both training and equipment, are established to maximize cohesion, effectiveness, and efficiency, and to prevent or mitigate vulnerabilities in joint force capabilities. This is especially important and challenging during time-constrained contingency operations. Because of the regional alignment of Special Forces groups, their organic chemical detachments have unique knowledge and understanding of their assigned area of responsibilities. While the chemical detachments exist to support the group's operations, they may be task-organized to provide support to any Special Operations Task Force in order to help achieve strategic or operational objectives. Examples of strategic or operational-level employment include determining reconnaissance and surveillance functions in support of special reconnaissance, counterproliferation, and direct action missions. Conducting missions to determine the nature, scope, and extent of chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear hazards activity on specified targets both for pre-strike and post-strike activities. Assessing, developing, training, organizing, or directing foreign chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear capabilities. Providing technical intelligence to other governmental departments and agencies with analysis and presumptive identification of suspect chemical compounds and radioactive isotopes. Note, ATP-3-05.11, Special Operations Chemical, Biological, Radiological, and Nuclear Operations, provides details on Army Special Operations Forces chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear capabilities and operations. Protection of civilians is not a separate task under the protection warfighting function. It is a protection activity that is considered during the planning and execution of all tasks. Army Special Operations Forces often work in close proximity to and/or directly with local populations. This factor requires soldiers to understand and uphold standards of conduct, as well as legal, moral, and ethical obligations. Persons who are neither part of nor associated with an armed force or group, nor otherwise engaged in hostilities, are categorized as civilians and have protected status under the law of war. Army Special Operations Forces must abide by U.S. policy and comply with the law of war during all armed conflicts, however such conflicts are characterized, as well as during missions conducted across the competition continuum. In order to comply, soldiers must discriminate between combatants and civilians and take appropriate measures to protect civilians. The protection of civilians from deliberate attack is distinct from the legal obligations of U.S. forces to minimize harm to civilians during the conduct of operations. Effective protection of civilians starts before deployment by understanding and acknowledging the complexity of the operational environment, creating rules of engagement and policies that prioritize and account for the protection of civilians, and conducting realistic training that tests soldiers' decision-making ability. Failure to properly account for and address civilian casualties during tactical operations can create immediate local effects that impact maneuver units and provide opportunities to create global effects through the use of information technologies. commanders and staff consider the protection of civilians in all activities in order to maintain legitimacy and accomplish the mission. Note, Department of Defense Law of War Manual and JP 3.0 provide more information on the protection of civilians.